The basis of fellowship for the Arkansas Unamended Christadelphian Bible School is exclusively the principles of Scripture as defined in the Christadelphian Unamended Statement of Faith, including the epitomized commandments of Christ and doctrines to be rejected outlined therein. Those who accept the principles of the Birmingham Unamended Statement of Faith and who practice an exclusive, consistent fellowship on that basis of faith are welcome to fellowship at the table of the Lord. Anyone having been divorced and remarried after baptism, even under the auspices of Matthew 19:9, are asked to refrain from the memorial emblems at the Arkansas Christadelphian Bible School. This brings us to the point in our meeting where we remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior through the partaking of the bread and the wine. Shortly after Adam's transgression, animal sacrifices were instituted to show the transgressor God's way of covering or doing away with sin, so that every time the blood of the victim was poured out unto death, the sentence upon Adam was visibly taught, teaching that God would destroy the nature having sin in it, and typically pointing forward to the death of Jesus Christ. If Christ had not possessed a nature as Adam had after the fall, wherein sin resided, then there would have been no object in his death. And in fact, the justice of God would have not permitted it, because death entered the world by sin, and the wages of sin is death. Christ became obedient unto death, even the death of the stake, for the reason that he was the son of Mary, the son of David, and therefore the son of Adam. And being in the loins of Adam when he fell, Christ came under the Adamic condemnation, which was death. Hebrews 2:14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, or diabolos, sin in the flesh." In the use the apostle makes of the words sin and diabolos, we find they are synonymous, as is seen when we compare Hebrews 2:14, which we just read, with 1 Corinthians 15:56, where it is stated, "The sting of death is sin." So what has the power of death is sin. In both of these quotations, in Hebrews 2 and 1 Corinthians 15, the result is the same, death. And the cause of death is the same, diabolos, or sin, specifically sin in the flesh. This cause was destroyed or put to death upon the stake in the body of Jesus. Again, as we read in Hebrews 2:14, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. In Romans 8, verse 3, it reads in part, and this is out of the Diaglot, "For God, having sent his own Son in a form of the flesh of sin, even by an offering for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." If there had been no sin principle residing in his flesh, it could not have been put away when he was sacrificed. Neither could he have borne our sin in his own body on the tree. In Hebrews 9:26 it says, "For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." The sin that was put away was constitutional and pertained to nature, the physical sin nature of the whole human family, and not to actual transgression. For Christ did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, and in him is no sin. He was made a constitutional sinner because he was made of a woman, made under the law. Job asks, Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. In character, he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Could he have offered first for his own sin if he did not have sin in the flesh? When Christ became obedient unto death, he did so to manifest God's righteousness in carrying out the Adamic sentence, and not exempting his beloved son, who was made of a woman, who therefore was under the same condemnation as his mother. Thus God declared he was just in the destruction of the physical sin nature of Christ, making him a propitiation through faith in his blood, as Romans 3 says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. In Leviticus 17 it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. In his shed blood was the life that sustained a nature that was antagonistic to God's will. And that when he poured out his soul unto death, that nature died. It was destroyed. And on account of his freely pouring out his blood and his righteous character, he obtained eternal redemption. As it says in Acts 2, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. In 2 Timothy 1:10 it says, who hath abolished death, speaking of Christ, and hath brought to light, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. From this we learn God's plan of salvation. By taking the Son of Man as a representative person from the human race and redeeming him from death in accordance with his law. We can now look upon Jesus as the way, as a leader, as the captain of our salvation, and as an example. The perfect character that Jesus developed was the result of the Word made flesh, and that wisdom was possessed by Yahweh in the beginning of his ways, before the works of old, dwelling in the body prepared. This wisdom was his meditation day and night, that which sustained him more than daily bread, a wellspring of life springing up in him unto eternal life. He was truly God with us, by virtue of the fact that he emptied himself of any fleshly tendency and yielded himself a servant of righteousness, doing only that which his Father gave him to do, speaking only that which his Father gave him to speak. By mortifying the works of the flesh and practicing the fruit of the Spirit, he was able to fully manifest his Father's will, fulfilling his role, declaring God's righteousness, so that it could be written, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. This is the man we now think upon, the man whose example we continually look for guidance, strength, and comfort in our daily lives. This is the man we now remember. And I'd like to ask the brothers to come forward that are going to help with the memorials at this time. I'm going to read the memorial account from Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 17. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you who eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in this dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Let's stand at this time. We'll ask Brother Rob to give prayer for the bread.
Our most gracious and heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we are indeed grateful for this day that you've given us to gather together in thy name and study thy word. We're thankful, Lord, for these brothers and sisters that we come together with to do just that, study thy word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will bless this bread that we're about to partake, the emblem of your Son, the unblemished Lamb, the one true sacrifice, that he died for himself and for us, that we may have a chance at eternal life. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you give us strength and courage, that we may go forth and do thy will and not our own. We ask that you forgive us of our sins, for we know that we sin greatly. We pray, Heavenly Father, for that soon coming day when you shall return your Son to this earth to establish your kingdom. We pray that we might find mercy in thy sight. We'll have a place in that kingdom. Just at this time, Father, we come to you in prayer with love and praise through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. We'll ask Brother Herb to give thanks for the wine.
Righteous Father in heaven, who dwelleth in light unapproachable that no man hath seen nor can see, hallowed be thy most holy name. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the gift of thy Son. And as we are here assembled around this memorial table to partake of this wine, symbol of his poured out blood, we pray that we might be strengthened by it, that we might be, by what we say and do, found approving in thy sight, and hopefully granted a place in thy glorious kingdom. We think upon these things, Heavenly Father, and the sacrifice of thy Son, the great sacrifice of thy Son, and the agony and anguish that he endured. And we pray that we might be, by being touched by his blood, that we might be found acceptable servants unto thee by what we do and what we say. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for all these great gifts that thou hast bestowed upon us. And we pray that we might stand before thy Son in judgment and hear from his lips, Well done, the good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. We offer up this prayer, therefore, unto thee in heaven, thy dwelling place, through him, our great high priest, our mediator, even Jesus the anointed. Amen.